Okay. My name is Gerald, and I am an alcoholic. Gotta admit, I'm a little nervous up here. I had to do a 12-step call here a while back, and a couple little old ladies and their brother was an alkie, and he was kind of out of it. And these ladies were making me some tea, and I seen this bowl of peanuts sitting on the table there, and I was kind of hungry. I hadn't had nothing to eat in quite a while, and I started munching on those peanuts, and after a while, over half those peanuts were gone out of that bowl, and the lady came back, and I told them, I said, I'm real sorry. I added some of your peanuts. And they said, well, that's okay. We're glad you did. I said, since we've had our teeth pulled all week, and it was sucker chocolate off of them. So, anyway, like I said, my name is Gerald, and I am an alcoholic. My drinking career started when I was 16. I was in this church youth group, and back in Minnesota where I grew up, the drinking age was 18. There was a lot of people 18 would buy you booze for younger people. And our youth group, we had 18-year-olds, and the 18-year-olds would buy booze for the younger people. And I know one night after our group, guys were going around and they were passing around beer. And I was kind of horrified. I didn't want to drink it, but I wanted so much to fit in. My whole life, I never felt like I fit in. I just always felt like I was different. I went to a real small grade school. Our largest class was 8 students, and that was my class. And I didn't even feel like I fit in that class. I can remember when I was about 10, 11 years old, I was sitting up in the haymow in my dad's barn, and I was feeling so bad. I either wanted to run away or kill myself, and that's how my situation was. I mean, I just felt so out of it. I never felt that my folks loved me. I ran away a lot. Usually it was within a half mile away. We lived out in the country, and neighborhoods were... The neighbors, a lot of the closest neighbors were a mile away or within. And so I would run down to one of the neighbors and she'd call back home and say, yeah, Gerald's over here again. So I never got too far. I got into high school and I started drinking. More when I turned junior and senior year. I had friends that could buy me booze and... we used to go to Kegers out at the lake, and, all of a sudden, I felt like I fit in, you know. Of course, I didn't realize, they were inviting everybody, you know. But I felt like I fit in for a change. And I went along with a friend of mine one time, and we drank vodka and squirt. We each had a bottle of wine. We had a six-pack of beer between the two of us, and we also had some hard liquor. And I must have been 16. It was getting kind of late, and I had to go home. My friend had to drive me home, and we stopped about a half mile from my place. And he knew I was pretty drunk. He had me run up and down the road, try to work it out a little bit, but all that did was make me sick. And I got home, and I puked my guts out all over the bedroom, and my mom came in, and she saw me, and she said, oh, it was so terrible that Gerald got sick, you know. And my dad came in, took one look at me, and he realized, he says, Gerald's drunk, you know. And he just shook his head and walked out. He never said a word. And then not too long after that, my dad died. He had cancer. He was, I was a senior in high school when he passed away, and... You know, I'll never forget that I never got along good with my dad. We were raised on a farm, and I tried so hard to do what he wanted me to do, you know. I started driving tractor when I was 5 years old. I did a lot of chores. My dad had cancer for about 4 or 5 years before he passed away, and I did the bulk of the work around the yard because around the farm because he was just too sick to do it, you know. And remember thinking it was never ever good enough. I kind of forget about the good times we had. There was days where school got let out because of too much snow, snowstorm coming, and we would go take off and drive to a sale barn 30 miles away. I mean, farmers in Minnesota, they don't give a shit about a little snow. They're going to drive right to it, you know. So we'd go to the sale barn. I forgot about those good times, you know. But I had my mom had this hobby of raising chickens, and one of my jobs was to feed the chickens, water the chickens, clean the chicken shit out of the house and out of the chicken coop, and gather the eggs. And sometimes the eggs get off the nest when you get close. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes you can stick your hand under there and pull the eggs out, and no big deal. Well, one time I tried to get the eggs, and this hand picked up my hand. So I pulled it out, and I tried it again. She picked up my hand again. So I got pissed off and grabbed the hand around the head, swung him around, and threw him. It hit the window, broke the window, killed the chicken, and I dropped a basket of eggs. And I got in trouble for that. And that's kind of the story of my life. I mean, I was always getting in trouble for something. Another time after we had moved to California, I went back home one time to visit, and I borrowed a shotgun from my neighbor to do some rabbit hunting, and I had it sitting there in the garage, and I was outside in my car, leaning inside the car, messing around, and my little brother Rob, he grabbed the shotgun and pulled the trigger, and scared the living shit out of me. I didn't see it coming. I just, you know, and I didn't realize until last week that Rob was pointing that gun down. If he had pointed it up just a little bit, you know, maybe even just a little bit more, it would have went right through the door of the car and hit me. But I didn't realize it was that close. But anyway, it scared the shit out of me. I jumped up and I chewed my brother out, and I only got a few words out, and here come Mom's out. Mom outside, and she chewed me out for yelling at her poor Rob and for leaving that shotgun laying around. And, you know, I could never win. I was always the bad guy, you know. And I got another brother named Glenn. He, when I was still living at home, I was doing a lot of bar drinking. I'd go to the bars and sit there. My dad passed away when I was 17. When I turned 21, I moved to California. So I was living in Minnesota for a time. Like I said, 18 was the drinking age back there. And I was sitting in this bar one time. I get this phone call. I thought, what the hell do I do now? And my brother Glenn, he was 13 or 14 at the time. Couldn't have been any older than that. And he had brought a load of manure out to the field, and this manure spreader got stuck. And so he was trying to unstick it, and the thing took off, and it caught his fingers. It pinched these three, and it took this one here right off. And here I was sitting in the bar, you know, when I should have been the one out there doing that. And I was thinking about that last week, too, when I was back there for the visiting my family. But it seemed like I was always getting in trouble. I mean, it wasn't intentional. I was just a fun-loving kid, you know. I like to do things. You know, my brother Rob, he seemed to take the best out of me. And one time I bought this cattle prod. And if you don't know what that is, it's got a set of batteries in it, about 6, 7, 8, 10 batteries. And you push it, and it shoots a little electricity through the end, and it makes the cattle go or the hogs go or whatever. And I bought this thing, and I told Rob, I said, here, you test those 2 points. And when he did, I turned the thing on, and he got a little jolt out of that. And I got in trouble for that, too, you know. It seemed like it was one thing after another. My first drunk driving was in Minnesota. I used to go dances quite a bit. And this one time it was in February, I don't remember what year, 76, 77, 75, 76, right in there. Anyway, I had to go to one town to fill up with gas. I didn't have enough gas to go to the dance hall. And I had 2 fists in the car. I took the cap off of one fifth, and I was drinking that, and the cap fell off, and I thought, no biggie. And because, I mean, what are you going to do with a cap anyway? I mean, once it's off, you don't need it no more, you know? And so by the time I got to the dance hall, I had that whole fifth gone. And then I started in on the second shift. And by the time I left the dance hall about 1 in the morning, I had to drive back to home, which is about 25 miles. And I kept drifting off, falling asleep, pulling over to the side of the road, coming to a couple minutes later, take off, drive a few more miles, and I ended up about 5 miles from home, passed out again, and this deputy sheriff pulled up. I was the only car on the road, you know, at 2-3 o'clock in the morning on the Minnesota roads, there ain't hardly any traffic. And it was about, I don't know, 0, 10 below, something like that, and he opens up the door, he can smell the booze right off the bat. He opens up the door, and I kind of snap out of it a little bit. He brought me in for a blood test, and my blood alcohol was 0.25, 0.26 right in there. And I remember when he opened up the door, I kind of snapped out of it. I talked to him all the way into the hospital, about 15, 20 minutes, and I kept talking. I'm just as nice as can be, you know. I'm just – and he told me he wasn't going to put me in jail that night. I convinced him to let me bring to another friend of mine, go get my car. I said I didn't want to leave my car out there, you know. So we go wake up my friend at 3 o'clock in the morning. We drive back to my car. And just like that, another car drives by. It looks like he's swerving too. So the cop drops us both off. He takes off. My buddy hands me the keys, says, bring me home. So I brought him home, and I go home. And nothing ever happened from it. I finally saw the cop again about 6 months later, and I asked him what happened. He said they lost the paperwork. Of course, back there, everybody knows everybody. I mean, you know, it's a small community. Everybody knows everybody. And at another time, that same cop, we were at a kegger in a gravel pit one time, and another friend of mine, he had a set of keys for a 56 Chevy. And somehow he dropped his keys in the gravel pit. They couldn't find it. And I brought him home. And somebody else was out there, stole some stuff off some of the equipment in the gravel pit. And so the next morning, the equipment operators reported the theft, and the car was still there. And so they ran the place. They found out whose car it was. They found the keys. He went and picked up me and my buddy, the guy that owned the Chevy, and we did a little search, and we found out who had the equipment. It was a set of jumper cables and some tools, and we got the stuff back, and then they said if we got the stuff back, they wouldn't press charges. So we got the stuff back, went and got the car, and then the three of us, my buddy and I and the cop, we drove to the bar and had a few beers. I mean, that's just the way it was, you know. And so I got out of a lot of shit that I should have got nailed for, you know. It's just, when I turned 18, like I said, that was the legal drinking age in Minnesota, and I was so proud of the fact that I could legally drink now. I brought home a six-pack of beer, and I put it in the fridge in the house. My dad had passed away already. My mom was at home. There was 4 kids. I was the oldest. And I put that six-pack in the fridge. I woke up the next morning. That six-pack was gone. And I thought, what's going on here? I know my mom don't drink. So I finally asked her about it. She had hidden it in the basement. She was so ashamed of me bringing beer in the house, you know. And so from that point on, I kept an ice chest in the trunk of my car. I kept my booze hidden from then on. And I was good at hiding booze. But the problem with my drinking, beer wasn't enough. I got to liking the hard stuff. I didn't care for wine much. I didn't care for champagne or that kind of stuff. But I loved Bacardi rum. I loved Black Velvet, McMaster's, Canadian mist, that kind of stuff. I mean, I just love that stuff. I was at a dance one time. I got a couple shots of Everclear. That's some good stuff. And I don't take much either. But I got in a lot of trouble. I moved to California when I was 21, and it wasn't so much to move to California as to get away from my mom and all the crap I was around in Minnesota. I mean, I had a bad drinking reputation already back then, and like I said, everybody knows everybody back there, and I just wanted to make kind of a fresh start. I was just going out there for the winter, just to get away for a winter. And I get out here and I met my wife, and she was a native California gal, and she fell in love with me right off the spot. I don't know why, but she did. And we had a few fights about my drinking. We met in a bowling league, and one time she had one of her friends come up and confront me about my drinking, and I got pissed off about that, and I didn't see my wife, my girlfriend, for a couple weeks. And during that time, I didn't go anymore bar hopping. I started drinking at home. I would drink beer with the guys after work. I got in this construction outfit and would work every morning from, I believe it was 7 to 4, and after work, everybody pitch in, buy a few beers, and a couple cases, whatever, it took every single day. And then I would go home, and I always had a bottle of hard liquor at home. And one time one of the guys that was working with us was going to move back to Washington. Well, we had to have a party with him, you know. And so we all pitched in. We drank a bunch of beer after work. Then we were going to go out. We went to see Animal House in the theaters, indoor theater. We all snuck in a bunch of beer inside the theater. And I don't know how we got inside with it, but we did. And then we were, after the movie, we're going to go to Denny's, get something to eat, and sober up. And I just bought this new car. It had a crank open top, and one of the guys in the back seat said, asked me to throw out his beer can. And I didn't throw it out the side. I threw it out the window, you know. And the cop right behind me saw that, you know. So anyway, I got pulled over, and I spent a few hours in jail, and that cost me $535, if I remember right, $400 for a fine, and $135 for those 4 Saturdays where you sit in this drunk school where you just sit there and watch the movies all day. That was my second drunk driving. I should have had a hell of a lot more, because I did a lot of drunk driving. There's times where I was driving and I have no memory of how I got home. There's times where I woke up in the morning, there were scratches and little dings on the pickup or the vehicle I was driving the night before. I had no memory of how that happened. Things like that just happen.